the Lord really just spoke to me this week. And you know, I was just really filled with that word, that the Lord wants us to really enter into the battle. If we're going to be successful in whatever we do and put our heart to, if God's not in it, it's not going to happen. And that if the Lord is in it, we're going to have all kinds of opposition. Hell's going to break loose as you begin to move into God's will and God's plan. Every time you take a step forward, the enemy's going to try to keep you down. How many know that greater is He that's in us? And that we have authority over the enemy. And that God gave us great and mighty weapons to pulling down those strongholds. And I want you to get hold of that CD. This is not just another message. This is something you can listen to over and over and over and over and over again. And I want to have all those six messages. I said this morning, it's kind of like a sanctified six-pack. And we're going to get it to you. And you can get those messages, and that God wants you to be successful in all that you do. This kind of piggybacks on the word. I wish I could tell you, you know, this, I mean, it's God's word. All of it is. But I was going through, just looking through a lot of the stuff that I have. And there's a drawer that I have. I found all these little pamphlets, and I hadn't looked through them for a while. And I was looking through. I found a pamphlet by Charles Capps. Somebody may recognize his name. I'm not even sure that he's alive now, to tell you the truth. Is he? He's got to be, you know, becoming a, you know, an older saint in the Lord, a real older man of God, and a real father. And he wrote a little booklet called God's Creative Power. And when it was printed, which must have been back in the 60s, at that time they'd printed 3 million copies of it. And just one of those little teeny, you know, booklets. And I just wrote down some of the thoughts that are in there, and that I just felt like we really need this as a church, especially after what was said this morning, to really make this message complete. Words are containers of power. They're more powerful than we can imagine, the words we speak. Right here. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, the words, shall eat of its fruit. But this tongue is a powerful thing. It speaks life. It can speak death. It can speak encouragement and faith. It can speak discouragement into people's lives. Some of you in this very room, the words that came from your parents or your brothers or some guardian, they just tore you down all the time, telling you what you were not instead of what you are. And listening to the Lord's words. You know, God created the universe by speaking. It was through speaking. He spoke it all into existence. You can read through Genesis. Let there be light. Let there be a firmament. Let the waters under heaven be gathered. Let the earth bring forth. Let there be lights in the firmament. Let the waters bring forth abundantly. And it says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind. You can read it over and over again. He spoke the word, things happen. He spoke the word, things happen. First thing I want to share is that there is life and creation and power in God's word. As we speak it. As we speak it. And that God wants it to be spoken. To be spoken. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. There's a power of life and death in our words. And that our words have more impact than we can imagine. And when we speak forth God's love and God's truth and those positive words, that's what they're going to bring into people. But when we speak those negative things, not only are you affected by it, but it affects other people around us. You know, I read once, even not from a scriptural perspective, although it, you know, shouldn't surprise us, that they measured sound waves. And the things that we say, those words, they continue on in the atmosphere and they're always there. That they're always there. That those words can be collected. I mean, that when they go forth, those sounds stay there. Does that surprise you? That one of these days, God's going to judge us by every word that comes from our mouth? Amen. How many know there's things you said to people you wish could have taken back? Now God's something else. So faith-filled words, they're going to take us over the top. They're going to bring victory to us. There's life in those words. Fear-filled words are going to bring defeat to you and to other people around you. And that the words are the most powerful thing in the universe. That man is a spirit being. He's very capable of operating on the same level of faith as God. Listen. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible. To him that believes, all things are possible. To him that believes, there isn't anything that's not possible. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. How much? Where's the lack? Where's the limit? God says, no, wait a minute. You're crossing over the line. You're getting into my territory now. What did he say? All things. There's no limit to our faith and the things that can happen. The disciples, you know, when they said, you know, why couldn't we cast him out? We remember that and came back in Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said, and because of your unbelief, for truly I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, the littlest, teeniest thing, just the smallest, littlest amount of faith, the littlest seed you can find. If you can just have that much faith. I mean, how many believe you could come up with a little grain mustard seed of faith, maybe? If we would just have just a grain of mustard seed faith. It says, you shall say unto this mountain, remove there, go yonder, and it'll be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Obviously, you know, we don't have a mustard seed's worth of faith. If we did, man, we'd be shaking things up. God's not talking about us sifting mountain ranges. All right, let's go out there, man. Let's work on the Alps first. We're going to rearrange those babies. Hallelujah. You know, that's not what God's talking about. The Lord's talking about these great obstacles that are in our way, these mountains that are there. We can remove them with just a littlest bit of faith that we can rearrange those mountains and cause great victories to come. And notice what it says. Jesus said, for truly I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain. It's with the words that are spoken. Remove hence yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible. Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. That's just profound right there. Get your eyes on God. It's not going to happen until you get your eyes on God. Have faith in God. You're not going to have faith in people. You're not going to have faith in money. You're not going to have faith even in your best friend. It's have faith in what? In God. He didn't say the Republicans. He didn't say the Democrats. He said have faith in what? In God. In God. Have faith in God. And he said, and truly I say unto you that whosoever shall say, notice there it is again, if you'll say it, unto this mountain be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, he shall not doubt in his heart. He shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Notice. What we say and believing the words we say, that there's a creative power in the words that we say. It's during the hearing of the word that faith comes to us. The hearing of the word. Not just reading of the word. I mean, thank God for the printed page. But the hearing of the word. It's through the preaching of the gospel. Second thing is, it's a spiritual law that God never does anything without saying it first. He speaks it all. This is a spiritual law. This is not a theory. It's a fact. It's a spiritual law. I mean, it's something that works every time correctly. You know, that a law is something that never changes. I'm not talking about the laws of man. I'm talking about laws in nature. Law of gravity, you know, it doesn't change, does it? You've never had it happen. You know, sometimes I preach and I come down these steps, you know. Matter of fact, sometimes I watch, you know, I get up here, you know, close to the edge, and I'm up here like this, and I'm kind of, you know, like that, and everybody's going, oh, he's going to fall down, you know. And you know why? You know, you're concerned? It's because there's a law that operates. It's called the law of gravity. It's always the same. I've never walked down these steps and gone up. Because that law is always the same. How many know that? And the same thing is true spiritually. They're spiritual laws. They never change. They are always the same. And so this is a spiritual law. God never does anything without saying it first. See, God is a faith God. Did you know that? And God releases his faith in the words that he speaks. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. A more literal translation of that is that in that verse in Mark 11:22 is have the God kind of faith. Or it's literally to have the faith of God. To have his faith. What's that tell you? God has what? Faith. He does things through faith. He has faith. He speaks it. It happens. Ephesians chapter 5:1 literally tells us to be imitators as God as children. That, you know, children imitate their parents. God wants us to imitate him. You know, to imitate God, that means you've got to talk like God. You've got to act like him. He wouldn't ask you to do something you're not capable of doing, would he? Jesus operated in those faith principles of Mark 11:2 and Matthew 17:20 we just read. And while he was here on this earth, see, he spoke to the wind. He spoke to that sea. He spoke to demons. He spoke to the fig tree. He even spoke to dead men. He spoke the word. He had faith. He had the faith of God operating in him. And that things happen when we speak. The wind, the sea, the tree, the demons, even the dead were obedient to what he said. He wants us to see that. He operated in God kind of faith. God is a faith God and released his faith in the words that he spoke. I want us to see it. Jesus was imitating his Father and he got the same kind of result. And he tells us to speak it. He said, in John, Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these. So, is that God's will? Is that God's heart? Is that possible? Hello? If it's going to happen, we're going to have to get the word of God in our hearts and begin to proclaim it and begin to act on it. So these principles of faith, they're based on spiritual laws. That they work for whoever apply these laws. God's no respecter of persons. They work for everybody the same. You set them in motion by the words of your mouth, by the things that you say. You speak those things, and he says, you speak and you believe, and you'll have those things that you speak. That's why prayer is such a powerful vehicle. You don't use prayer to speak all negative stuff. You're liable to have what you're saying. I mean, do you really want all those negative things you've been confessing to come to pass? Are you believing for those things? You know, I mean, if Jesus came to you personally and said, from this day forward, it's going to come to pass. Everything that you say is going to happen exactly as you say it. Oh, whoa. How many believe we'd probably be in big trouble? But that's the point. Because whether you know it or not, it is happening already. That those things that we speak come back to us. Man, and if we understand it, it's going to change our vocabulary and the things we say. Think of the negativity. Think of the complaining. Think of all the stuff we do. Man, all the criticalness. I said it this morning. God, by the Holy Spirit, is bringing forth the word to bring people together in faith and in unity to do something for him. And man, it takes a few, just a couple people out there filled up with negative spirits. They can undo in a couple seconds the things that God tried to do for weeks. Isn't it amazing that people believe a lie faster than they'll believe the truth? The devil will take a lie and run around the world for it before truth gets off the line. Man, you don't think that's so? Yeah. You just watch how the rumors will fly, huh? Wouldn't it be awesome if the gospel would get out that fast? Let's talk about binding and loosing for a minute that we talked about this morning. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, it said, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And in Matthew 18:18-19, it says, "Truly I say unto you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." So God's given you authority. The same power of God stands behind you. Same authority that Jesus had, he's given unto you. It's those things that we say. The things that we say here on earth, the things that we bind here on earth are going to be bound in heaven. The things that we loose here on earth and speak with our mouth, they're going to be loosed in the heavenlies. I mean, that's some kind of authority. And all heaven backs you up. When God gives you authority, he backs you up. Just like a policeman's given authority. Go out there, you know, I've said it before. He stands out, you know, puts up his hand, says, "Stop." It's not his muscles to stop those cars. He's not standing there with an AK-47 saying, "You better stop, you're dead." That's the way they do it overseas. They don't do it like that here. But why do they stop? Because he has authority. Because they know if they run over that policeman, they're going to be at a whole other policeman. So lots of policemen coming after him, backing him up with that authority and power that he had. You understand what I'm saying? It's authority that did it. And we have authority. And we've got something more than a police force standing before us. We've got heavenly police force standing before us. They're all behind us. All God's power standing behind those things. So God's giving you the authority. He says, "I want you to speak it with authority. Quit letting the devil push you around. Quit letting the devil rob for you and steal from you and blind you with the lies that he's given you. And man, he's just doing such a snow job on you, and you're just eating it up like a sweet snow cone." That wasn't in my notes. God's, you know, but we just eat up these lies. And we're deceived. And we just keep staying, you know, paupers in God, not growing spiritually, not going forward, you know, with all these, we're so needy all the time. Because you're not standing in the authority that God has given you. Jesus said, "I already did it. I already delivered the devil in your hand. I've already given you the promises. I've already said that you're prospered. I've already said I've given you my abundance. I've already said I've given you all blessings in heavenly places. They're all given to you. I've already promised you that you're healed. I've already promised that you have wisdom. I've already told you that you can walk in my will. I've already given you my favor. What are you doing asking me for it? I've already given it to you. Start using it." We need to look at it in a different way. We need to look at it through victory, not through defeat. Not spending time talking about our problems. Let's start talking about the victory that God's given us. Let's speak words of faith, not words of defeat. So Jesus says, "It's up to you now. I'm giving it to you. I'm ascending into heaven. I'm sending back my spirit, man, and I'm giving you all the power you need. I've given you all the provision you need. All heaven is standing behind you." He's saying, "Go get them." Literally, he did. Go into all the world. He said, "Go get them." "I can't. I'm scared. I don't know what they'll think of me if I talk about Jesus. I'll be shunned in the office. Persecuted. They'll think I'm a Christian." Jesus said, "Will you get going, you wimp? All heaven's standing behind you, and you're worrying about what they think about you. You know, he's the one that died for you and suffered for you. He took it all. He took it all for you. Stand up. Stand up." You know, Psalms 119, verse 89 tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." His word's true. It's settled. You know, when we read the promise of these words, hear God's word, it's a done deal. What God said is already established. God will never alter what he said. He said in Psalm 89, verse 34, "My covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out from my lips." Is that true or not? God said, "Will you start proclaiming my word? Will you start standing in my word? Put your trust in me." So we, think about it, establish God's word here on earth and God's will through our power of binding and loosing. It's given to us here on earth. We're claiming God's word. You can affect and change things here on earth by binding and loosing. You have authority to do that. It establishes God's word and kingdom here. You see yourself as some little person? Oh, I'm just this little Christian, you know. Little Christian? Little Christian, you're walking on the devil's head. You know that he's under your feet. You've got authority to walk on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. And you're just a little Christian? Well, I'll tell you one thing. You're as big as Jesus is, because when God looks at you, he sees Jesus, not you. And we stand in Christ Jesus with everything that Jesus has. We've been deputized with all authority and with all power. So it's the spoken words of God that programs our heart and programs our spirit. It brings success or defeat to us. It's that word. Words are containers. They carry faith or they carry fear. And they produce after their kind. I want you to get that. Read it with me again. Just read it. Words are containers. They carry faith or fear, and they produce after their kind. When you speak faith to people, it brings faith to their hearts. When you speak fear to people, what's it do? When you speak in a positive way, what's it do with people? They have positive thoughts. When you speak negativity and criticizing and bring all that stuff, what's it do? Words are powerful. You better be careful what you're saying out there. You may be saying some things against God. Because if it's not about the word, it's not God. God doesn't speak words except these words. Everything God does, he does by his word. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
God say, well, let's just put the word a while. I want to say a few other things to you. This is off the record. He's not a politician. These are off the records. I know you won't tell anybody. Words are containers. They carry faith or fear. They produce after their kind. So Romans says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know that faith comes, I believe, quicker when you hear yourself saying it than when somebody else is saying it. When we rehearse it, when we say it, we continue. You know that we more readily receive it. Our spirit receives it as we rehearse it. There's something that happens when we speak it. We've got to think about it. When somebody else speaks it, we're not thinking about it the way we do when we say it ourselves. Do you understand what I just said? That's because I'm saying it and you didn't say it. You say it yourself. It gets into your heart. It gets into your spirit. Here's the next thing I want to talk about, and that's God's creative power and authority is in his word. God wants you to rise up. He wants you to take dominion over the powers of the enemy through his word. You have that authority to take dominion. For God's word to have power, it's got to be spoken. You know, I felt it. The word of God went forward this morning and people received it in faith, and there was a power that went out from it. And that I could feel that power in the prayer room tonight because it was coming out. You know, that power was in resonant in people's life. It came from the spoken word. So, you know, listen, I don't want to dwell on the negative here, but so often we speak the words of the enemy. Doubt and trouble and complaining and criticism and negativity and why not? What? Oh, why not? Why can't we do that? That's not fair. Why? That's never going to happen, that's for sure. You know what those kind of words do? You think those are God's word? Puh, can you believe that? Unbelievable. You know what you're saying?
That's right.
Make you squeal. My wife had that. We had a friend of ours, you know, and he kind of did it funnily, you know, and he said, that's unbelievable. She had to say, don't you listen to that. You know what he's saying? Don't say that. I don't like that. Well, that, and it's true, isn't it? Let's don't say unbelievable. Let's say that's believable. Don't do it like that, all right? Everybody think you're crazy. I'm glad you're my friends. Anyway, you know, I don't believe that. What's that saying? Especially, you know, I mean, I'm talking about a positive word. It's the truth. It seems like we give our endorsement to things that we shouldn't, and then we shoot down the things that we should support. Now, who do you think's causing that to happen? That's why everything we do, we're doing to edification. We're to do it according to the word. So, man, and it's worse. I mean, there's power in your words. And those powerful words are creative. And they're creative to the good side, and they're creative to the evil side. Words are creative. They do something. They cause things to happen. So there's creative power and life in God's spoken word. But man, there's evil power and destruction in the devil's lies and in his words. And when we grab hold of those lies and bring forth that negativity and bring it to other people, yeah, there's power in it. God spoke to Charles Capps, and this is what he wrote down. As the Lord speaking said, "Be not conformed, but transformed." Be transformed by the word of God. Don't be like the world. Don't be like them, he's saying. Be not conformed to what the world's going on, but be transformed into the body of faith, knowing my words are alive. Evermore, my words are alive. They never change. Believe, speak, and obtain, that your joy may be full, and that ye shall be complete in me. And he says, you know, these truths changed my life. He says, I've never been the same. Here's the next thing, number five. Boy, this is good. Confess victory in face of apparent defeat. And you confess abundance in the face of apparent lack. You know, if you'll just get that into your spirit tonight, and that's all, it's going to bring great victory into your life. And quit speaking about your lack and quit talking about the failure and all the stuff that happened. Let's say it together. Confess victory in the face of apparent defeat and confess abundance in the face of apparent lack. Man, our building fund is going over the top. God is going to bring blessing to you people and to people we haven't even seen yet. And there's going to be abundance, and it's going to overflow and go over the top for the glory of God. So what do you think would happen if everybody started speaking like that in the whole church? God would say, come here. You got to hear this, man. Come here. Listen to that church. Man, come here. You go down there. Taking care of this. You angels, come on. Gather around here. I want you to start pouring out. Listen to what they're saying. My power is going to ride on the power of their words and the faith that they're speaking from their hearts. Oh, man, I can't do anything. I'm never going to have anything. God says, okay. Quit speaking lack. Let's start speaking God's abundance. Does this promise talk about abundance or lack? Quit talking about failure. Quit talking about, you know, all the negativity, you know, and what looks like a defeat. And you say, man, God's going to bring good out of this. His word declares that all things work together for good to those who call God. He's turning this thing around. Hallelujah. You know, Lord, out of death, you brought forth life. Out of your suffering, you brought forth healing. Start speaking positively. Mark 11:23. Again, truly I say unto you that whosoever shall say into this mountain, shall say into this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says, thou shalt come to pass, and you'll have whatever you say. Quit looking. Quit talking. Oh, that's such a big mountain. What are we going to do? We're never going to see victory here. It's too big. We can't do it. God has said, too big. What are you looking at? You talking about that little teeny piece of sand down there? Whew. Charles Capps was teaching, and he was teaching from this text in Mark 11:23, and his quote, he said, "Jesus said to me, 'I've told my people that they can have what they say, and they are saying what they have.'" I've told my people that they can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. Doubt, unbelief, fear, skepticism, loneliness, poverty, lack, sickness, failure. How you doing? "I don't feel very good. I've been seeing." Okay. Nice seeing you again. And the problem is, there's some people, every time you see them, that's what they say. "How you feeling? You feeling better?" "No, I don't feel very good. I think I feel a little worse." You know, I had faith for that. I just thought that's what you were going to say. Man, instead of somebody come up and say, "How you doing? Well, you know, I've been battling this thing, but man, I feel healing coming on. I know God's word is true, and I'm going to see my true self through this." You know, it doesn't mean that you lie and deny it. It just talks about God's promises and the victory that you have in it. Hallelujah. "I'm fighting a battle, but by his stripes I'm healed, and I'm standing in faith." Hello, can you say amen? So, I mean, this is really powerful. I hope you can remember this. Write it down. Write it down. You know, as he was teaching, he said, "Jesus said to me, 'I've told my people they can have what they say, and they're saying what they have.'" Oh, man, I'm busted. I'm discouraged. I'm down, man. I don't have any energy. I don't have any strength. There's creativity in your words. You have what you say. Hello, this is really good now. I want you to get hold of it. Number 6, learn to release your faith in words. You can have what you say if you learn to release faith from the heart in your words. Jesus said in Matthew 8:13, "As you have believed, so it'll be done unto you." Practice it. I said it. I believe it. It's going to happen. Because there's life and power in the words that I speak, because they're God's word that I speak. And that God can't deny his word. He honors it above his own name. You know, I want you to get a hold of this now. In Matthew 8:13 here, he didn't say it would work only if you believed right. "As you have believed, so it be done unto you." Whether you believe right or wrong, it's still the law. That's what you're believing. It's what you're going to get. Well, it got quiet in here. I know why, too. Because you're saying, "Man, I'm going to stop saying stuff I've been saying." And that's what God's saying. Stop saying the stuff you've been saying. Start speaking faith. Quit speaking negativity and quit speaking defeat and your lack. God says, "Who do you think I am? Will you look at your heavenly Father and know how much love I have for you and know what I provided? Look, my warehouse is full up here, all this stuff, and you're not even getting any of it. It's just staying up here. I need to get rid of some of this stuff. You need these blessings." So, you know, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that also he'll reap. Good or bad. You speak in faith, that's what you're going to reap. You speak in negativity, that's what you're going to reap. Man, can you just imagine for a minute? Let's speak it. The whole church speaking these things. Can you see it right now? Wow. Wouldn't be walking on water, but we walk above the carpet. I mean, we'd be going, we'd be up there. So God's faith talks. When faith talks, it talks faith, not fear. It doesn't speak unbelief and negativity. God's faith talks. It talks. It talks. Mark 11:23. Jesus tells that you can have what you say if what you say comes from faith in your heart. So the treasure of faith cannot be hidden, but they're manifest by our words. That's what you believe. It's going to come out of your mouth. You're going to speak those things. Number seven, train yourself to speak God's word. Just speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it. Let's train ourselves to speak God's words. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Again, it tells us to be followers of God as dear children. The word followers in the Greek means to imitate. To imitate. Imitate. The word to imitate God as a child does his father. A child imitates his father. He's going to walk like him. You know, here goes dad. There goes son. You know, little kids, they imitate their fathers. You know, as his dad walks, he's going to walk like that. The way his dad talks, it's the way he's going to talk. You better be speaking words of faith, because they're going to be picking up that other stuff too. So they become a pattern. They pattern themselves after every move their father makes. That's what God wants us to do with him. So Jesus spent much time in prayer, but he never prayed the problem. He prayed the answer. He didn't talk about all the problems to God the Father. Oh, man, I got a problem, man. God, help me. This Judas guy you gave me is a pain. And you knew he was going to do this? Father, I cannot believe. What are you doing to me? You know what he did? He didn't believe that. I fed this guy. Took him under my wing. I was nice to him. I was kind to him. He was a devil to me. That's not the way Jesus prayed. That's the way we talk. I can't believe I was so nice to that guy. Man, he stabbed me in the back. Oh, God, you smoke him, man. I pray you just smoke him. But what you wish on somebody else, that's what's coming back to you. Oh, God bless him. You better change your tune. Amen. Hallelujah. So he always spoke the end results, not the problem. Jesus, when he prayed and when he spoke, the words that he spoke, he always spoke the end results, not the problem. He didn't confess the present conditions and circumstances, but he spoke the desired results. That's what God wants us to do. I printed out, you know, this sheet, and this was in Charles Capp's book, and I borrowed it. And I want you, not just the promises that he took. He put together different promises, and he put them in the now vernacular for us, that it's a done deal. And what he's saying is, you need to confess these three times a day, out loud. Victory through believing and confessing the word. Do you have your sheet? Did everybody get one? Is there anybody that needs one of these that did not get one of these? If you didn't get one, lift your hands up, and they'll get one to you. Ushers, can you help me out? Do we have some more of these in the back? Oh, good. They're handing them out right now. Just leave your hand up for a minute, and we'll wait and go over this. I've got 2 minutes to go over this whole sheet. I'm going to speak in tongues. You take the interpretation home, and then just do it yourself. Did everybody get one of these now? You can read this yourself. But let's just get started on a little bit of it. For worry and fear, confess these three times a day. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm not weak. I'm not defeated. See, we're going to speak the name. We're going to speak God's word. I'm the body of Christ, and Satan has no power over me at all. I overcome evil with good. I am of God, and I've overcome him. For greater is he that's in me than he in the world. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. For my righteousness is the Lord. And whatever I do will prosper, for I am like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. And I'm delivered from the evils of this present world, for it is the will of God. No evil is going to befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh to my dwelling, for the Lord God has given angels charge over me. They're going to keep me in all my ways, and my pathway is life, and there is no death in it. I am a doer of the word, and I'm blessed in my deeds. I'm happy in those things which I do, because I'm a doer of the word. I take the shield of faith. I quench every fiery dart of the wicked one brings against me. Hallelujah. I
am an overcomer. I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am submitted to God, and the devil flees from me because I resist him in the name of Jesus Christ. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, I establish his word up on this earth. Great is the peace of my children, for they're taught of the Lord. Listen, so whatever it is, look at material needs. Let's start confessing what God says. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed me from poverty. Christ has redeemed me from sickness. Christ has redeemed me from spiritual death. For poverty, he has given me wealth. For sickness, he's given me health. For death, he's given me eternal life. It's true unto me according to the word of God. I delight myself in the Lord, and he gives me the desires of my heart. I have given, and it is given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men give back to my bosom. With what measure I meet, it's measured back to me. I sow bountifully, therefore I reap bountifully. I give cheerfully, and my God's made all grace abound toward me, and I have all sufficiency of all things, and do abound in all good works. Say, but what if I look at my checkbook and I don't see it? That's what we're talking about, aren't we? We're talking about speaking in faith the promises of God, and not what the bank statement says, but what God's bank statement says. So, you know, you got the idea. You know, these are verses that he wrote down for himself. You do it. Write your own verses down. But I want you to speak them out loud. Take them three times a day. We're going to take the gospels three times a day. We're going to take them. Just keep, you know, write aloud. And, you know, go through the word. When you get something, you know, grab hold of it. Write it down. Write it down. And then speak it. And just go over it and go over it and go over it and go over it. I've shared this with this church again. When I'm going through deep problems, what to do? Write down the word of God. Put them down. Read them over and over and over and over. Speak forth the word. Speak forth the word. Get them in my heart. Get them in my spirit. Man, pretty soon, you know, they start producing faith. And they lift you up. And, man, you start believing it because it's the truth. And it gets in your heart and spirit. You know, it's really not hard, is it? God doesn't make it hard. It's worth truth. There's power in it. There's victory. There's healing. Whatever your need is, what do you got? Find the promises. Start proclaiming them and see it the way God sees it, and quit looking at it the way the devil's trying to get you to look at it. So I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I want you can find verses right there, right now, if you look under those headings. We're going to dismiss the service. I want those that are on the prayer team to come up and stand across the front of this church. And before you come, I want you to out loud say some promises of God that fit your life and your circumstances before you even come to this altar. I want you to come in faith. Father, I pray right now that this word's going to go deep into our hearts. Father, we thank you, Lord. We're not unwise in understanding the strategies of the enemy. We make a stand for you to go forward, and he's going to come at us. But we thank you, Lord, because anything that he brings toward us, Lord, he is a defeated foe, and we are not going to bow down. We are not going to give in to fear. We are not going to look at circumstances. We're going to stand on your words as overcomers, and you're going to take us into a whole new level in our lives of victory and breakthrough, and you're going to bring success. You're going to bring healing. You're going to bring healing in our families. You're going to touch our kids' lives. We're not going to listen to what they're saying. We're not going to look at the circumstances. We're going to stand on your word, and you will perform your word over their lives. In every area of our life, we're going to see breakthrough and victory in the name of Jesus, and the devil cannot do anything about it, for your word is true. Yea and amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. I want those of you that are on our prayer team to start coming up here right now, would you? And if you're tonight while they're coming, and there's anybody in this room, you've never asked Jesus Christ to come in your life. It's not about going to church, whether you ever come back to this church or not. It's about meeting him. It's about really finding him. He stands at the door of your heart. He just wants an invitation. He won't push him way in, because if he did, it wouldn't be love at all. He gives us a choice. That's why it says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You choose. I call on your name, Lord. I ask you to come into my life. It's when you believe in your heart, confessing with your mouth, the Lord, the Lord. He'll respond to that. He doesn't make it hard. It's just when you yield your will and say, Lord, I'm not doing a good job managing my life. You made me. You know how this thing works. I don't know how it works at all. So I'm asking you to take over management. I want God, Inc. to take over management in my life. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm getting off this throne. Come into my life. If that's you tonight, the rest of you pray right now. I just want you to slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I've never done that. I've never put my trust in Jesus for my salvation to receive it as a gift. I've tried to be good, but the Bible says nobody's justified by good works. Nobody. Nobody gets saved by being good because nobody's good. So he just gives it to us as a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of our good works. So nobody can brag. Jesus paid for it on the cross and he said, it's finished. I did it. It's done. You can't add anything to it. You can't take any away from it. I did it. I offer this gift to you. Now you either receive it or reject it. It's up to us. I want to know, if that's you, just lift your hand up and say, Pastor John, pray for me. When I see your hand, you can put it down. But look at me when you raise your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Who else? You just slip your hand up wherever you are. And when I see your hand, then you put it down. I see your hand back there in the back. Is there anyone else? Then you can put it down after I see it. All right, let's stand up. Church, you're dismissed. Those of you who want to leave, you can leave. Those who want prayer, the prayer team's up here. But before you come, I want you to read three promises right out loud. It's okay. Everybody's going to be doing it. Nobody will pay attention to you. They're going to be doing it too. And you need prayer tonight, they're going to pray for you, and God's going to bring breakthrough. How many of you are going to start doing this every day now? Every day. You're going to take those gospels three times a day. You take the medication that God's given to you. His word is a medicine to our souls. God bless you. Love one another.